Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Black Urban America. Welcome to Black Urban America, and my name is Kenny Jones, and we made it through another week. My show airs on Blog Talk Radio from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Tuesday evenings and Saturdays. We have Provocative Thought with Carlton Snead. Also air 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. In about a month or two, we'll be adding a new show. This brother come from Florida by the name of David Francois. And he probably going to be addressing issues, educational issues. Also, again, every week I've been pumping up this program called the Marketing Partnership Program, which We Talk Productions assists self-employed people as small business owners with their marketing. And it's a partnership between our production company and the business, and your business. And we guarantee that your product or service will be gain national as well as international exposure. And we have a marketing team set up, which will probably be headed by Jackie Hosky out of Philadelphia. And she is very, very good. Matter of fact, a couple of people that she represent will be on this show next Tuesday. I had a great weekend. I went to a event, Universal Negro Improvement Association, ACL, African Community Leagues, celebrate Marcus Garvey Day. How many of you knew that Saturday was Marcus Garvey Day, August 19th? Oh, it was wonderful. Vendors, entertainment, music, and the people was very warm and accepting. And also, I'd like to thank Kwame from the Universal Negro, the UNIA-ACL, for inviting me to this event, which we'll be doing a lot of ventures together in the future. Matter of fact, in the near future. Tonight, again, we're going to be talking about our youth. I guess you said, well, why do you always have programs focusing on the youth? Because they are our future, and they are in danger. And that's why we got to come up with solutions and programs that will address some of the issues that are our youth faces on a daily basis. Between the gangs and the drugs and the promiscuous behavior, they face a whole lot of challenges. And we, as adults, have to provide a protective environment. And what I mean by protective, I'm talking about educationally, home life, environmental. Nutrition, I mean, it's all in the makeup of their mental health. Because we all have mental health. It would be that positive mental health or our mental health is facing challenges. I don't want to say negative, but we're facing challenges. And tonight, I have a brother all the way from Minnesota that's going to talk about what he's doing in his nonprofit to address these issues. Brother Anthony, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm great today.
Good, good. I'd like to welcome you to Black Urban America. I'd like to thank you for coming on the show and discussing your program.
Okay.
And
so motivating. Go ahead.
So tell us, well, let me first ask you, why do you want to work with youth? They say they're hard-headed, they don't listen, they want to do their thing. The competition between the music and the videos, it's like it's overwhelming. Why did you want to put your hat in the ring to work with these youths?
Well, the reason I feel like I have put my hat in the ring for the youth is because they need to learn and go back and learn the basics. You know, we so quick to let them move on to the next field when they have not learned the basics. Even in sports, as I utilize sports for them to learn the basics. So when they go to school, they have the basics in mind. See, right now, a lot of these kids don't have responsibility. And I'm trying to find a basis to where they could come out and have the responsibility not only in school, but, you know, how we're as men are not in their lives. So we have to grow to the fact to understand that these are our kids. We have to give them something to nurture, you know, to understand that fighting against each other is not always going to be the best way. Joining the gang is not always going to be the best way. Even if you don't want to go to school, let's find something else that you could contend to make it better for you. So when you do get out in the world, you're comfortable.
So, do you think that sports? What do you think that sports teaches a young man that is compared to life skills?
Well, number one, sports teach you how to listen. A lot of these kids don't want authority. You know, they go to school and they don't want to sometimes listen to the teachers or that authority figure. So we have, because the dad might not be in home or they might be run away. So it always comes to that authority, you know. So we have to find, I utilize the basketball, not necessarily the basketball. I utilize any sport so they can learn how to deal with authority on a different level.
You know, I was a football coach for 27 years. I retired 10 years ago. And I think through football, you don't know the impact until they mature or become men and how they will stop
right.
And say thank you, introduce to their wives and children and whatnot. And I think that through sports, if we utilize sports right, because there are some coaches, it's just about the sport,
right.
The teaching skill level of the sport, and see make the progress on the next level, and they may skip some of the life skills that are needed. But if you utilize sports right. You could save a lot of young brothers from prison. I know I did.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because right now we got so many thinking they could be a Michael Jordan or LeBron, but they got to realize the work that these players have went through to achieve that.
Right.
And a lot of them don't want to do that.
It takes a lot of time and a lot of dedication. Matter of fact, it takes your life. You know, I read one time that there are 60,000 high school ball players. I'm talking about football now. In college, it now is down to 12,000. And by the time you get to the NFL, it's only 1,200. It's only 32 teams. They're only taking 53 men. So, like, your percentage is like 0.01% of making it to the professional level. And there's only one professional football league, and that's the NFL. So, you said that to learn the basics. What are some of the basics that, well, first of all, let's talk about your program for a minute. Tell people about your program.
Well, Motivated Minds was based out of West Palm Beach, Florida, where I'm from. I started there with one kid and ended up on the outdoor court and I ended up with four teams. You know, sixth grade, eighth, and twelfth grade teams. And these kids was looking for someone to really listen to them. But at the same time, they want to play basketball. But everybody's not telling them the right way of playing because this kid might play good. He don't know how to make a layup. He don't know how to be a team player. You know, he don't know how to go to school and raise his hand and say, I got a question I don't know. You know, you got a lot of kids who, what is that called, when other kids feed things to you and they're peer pressure. And you don't want to say, I don't know. I make it to where you're able to listen. And if you don't know, raise your hand. Say, I don't know how to make a layup. I don't know the right way to make a layup. And that what took me from that, and I brought it to Minnesota, because you have a lot of homeless kids who's going to school with want to play a sport but no place to live. So I had the drive to help them be responsible and motivated minds motivate you to be more responsible in the sport, on the court and off the court.
Let me ask
That's
you something. What's some of the, you said home, so in Minnesota, there's a big homeless population with homeless children population?
Yes.
So what are some of the reasons why, well, all of these residential centers and group homes and foster care, why will kids be homeless? Why we have a big homeless problem?
Well, mainly because a lot of these kids don't want to listen. You know, either they left home because the parents, you know, telling them this and that, or it might be a drug thing in a home, or they have no place to go. You go to a friend's house, you know, you still have no place to go. With all of that entwined and you trying to go to school, you feel lonely out here. And they have so many places to where they talk it, but they're not really helping them. You know, it becomes a number. You might as well say you be in jail, because as long as my door revolves with you failing, then that's money for me, because it keeps you down on that level. And a lot of these kids don't know how to come out of it. So they looking for a person who's strong enough to understand them to pull them out. And that's a hell of a factor, because a lot of them crying, but we're not listening. We're just going about our life. It didn't happen in my neighborhood. It wasn't my kid. But a lot of these are families and friends.
Yeah, and also, well, let me ask you this. What is the social work community doing about this?
I mean, you know, it's a large population, and not only in Minnesota, but Florida, too, when I was living down there. And the social worker just got a job to do what he or she is able to do. And once they leave the office, that's over. Monday through Sunday, after 6 o'clock, that kid or lady, whoever, has to still go back to their regular life. So I'm a social worker, so I might not get back with you for another year or so, depending on the case. So now you got
another
kid.
Wow.
Well, you know, it might not be a year. It might be 2 years. You know, you deal with me to say this and that, but also the kid don't know how to walk to listen to, I tell you to go to the store and come back. Some of them don't know how to go. You got to grab them by the hand.
Right.
This is how you purchase something, you know. And even though I give them knowledge, a lot of times I have to physically go to the kid and say, listen, come on, let me walk you through this. Because me telling you, you seem to have it. So I have to walk them. I take the time to walk them through everything they need to do. And this is time and patience on my part.
Do you think black adults have patience with the black youth of today?
No. Everybody living their own little life.
So you feel like most black adults really don't care about the children in their communities? Like, I thought it takes a village to raise a child. What happened to the village?
There's no more of that. You know, if I do something, everybody, before he gets home to my family, I'd have been talked to by the neighbor or, you know, friends of the family. You can't do that. That ain't right to do. You don't have that no more. Everybody closed their doors on it. Most parents are single mothers with no father. So they become friends with the mother. So when this kid get a certain age or a certain height or in a certain situation, the mother is fighting to try to discipline this child, whether it's a man or a female. We as men, a lot of us are not involved in our kids' lives because of whatever situation. And then now the kid is out here to fend for herself. So the neighbors ain't trying to help. They closing their doors. Well, they ain't my son. Ain't my daughter. You know, it's no more of that. And we need to come back to that in some kind of way.
Well, you brought up a very important point that on my show, and Provocative Thought, that we've been discussing for the past couple weeks. How can black men get back to or get the respect or get back involved in their families and communities? And because like the sisters, today the sisters are really taking the leadership of our culture. So how can brothers get that back? You know, I know now all of us are in prison because we can't really blame it on that. You can't really blame it on the sexuality because you're still a man.
Right.
I mean, like, what can in your view, what can we do to get back there? So children can look at us with pride.
Well, we really got to step up. See, a lot of times we talk about it, and we pay for things for other people to get a situation going without helping out. Men who got money, I deal with a certain community. I don't want to deal with this community. But you got family in that community who needs that help, but we don't look at them. Because we'll go to and say, well, these better kids. You know, we all better kids, no matter what community that you're in. But we have time to set aside that, oh, no, I'm living like this now. I ain't coming back here. You know, your cousin living in the hood, but you don't go down to the hood because he's not acting according to the way you want him to act. But look what you went through to get there. So if I don't see that kid there, what I went through to understand this is struggle. Just like when we had all these people getting shot by the police, we're really not coming together. You know, we talk about it, but we're not really speaking. We just talk, oh, yeah, oh, but we're really not in deep in it because we don't want to get shot.
Well, you may have a caller. 8091, welcome to Black Urban America.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm fine. I'm fine, too.
Good.
Do you have a question or comment?
No, right now I'm just listening because, you know, I deal with children every day, and I have activities and programs where we are always looking for African-American men to come out, support, and participate, and it is a challenge. It is a struggle.
Anytime
we have programs for the African-American youth, especially the males, I have to borrow males from the girls or from other organizations, you know, to come out and be supportive because, you know, most of the dads are absent. And, there's a lot of work that has to be done, but, you know, one of the ways we can do it is just to, you know, they just need to show up. And I don't know if they feel sometimes that, you know, they
may
not have.
Jay, is
that you? Huh?
Is that you, Jay?
Of course it's me.
Hey, let me tell you something, Brother Mitchell. This sister here, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
And both of y'all Floridians, so she's doing a lot in Florida with her group. Y'all need to share information because y'all two in the same business. But I'm going to ask you.
What part of Florida is that?
Since we're on this topic about black men and how you got to borrow black men for other organizations. Okay, what type of outreach should people do, or organization, or different community, or schools, to get black men involved? Because the first thing we got to say, well, I got to go make money. I got to go to work. Well, we're talking about after school, after you come home from work. I know at one time, the program that I was coaching for in Philadelphia, we was always looking for men to coach. You know, the cheerleaders coach never had a problem getting coaches for the cheerleaders. We always looking for men to coach and everything. So what kind of outreach, it's not appealing. You know, so we can't make it appealing because you're gonna be dealing with some young boys that might challenge you. So how can we do that, y'all?
Well, you know, I find out like she was saying because I would talk to a lot of guys who said they will be part of it, but when it comes down to it, you can't find them. You know, something always come out. It's like, you know, a lot of these kids, you know, in their relationships, even if you can't be with the female, you can still somehow be in that son or daughter life. You know, if even if you have issues on yourself, you know, find a friend or a homie that you can talk about to get you back into that kid's life. It don't have to be about the female. But see, a lot of times we get caught up, you know, with the female, wondering about what she's doing with the kid, but yet I don't want to stand next to her to go through them changes, you know, and the kid just left out there. So when I see all these kids and they be like, man, I just need some help. Well, where's your dad? Where's your mom? Well, they don't have time to listen. When I'm doing the basketball thing, I had to drag some guys in. The females came willingly to help coach. I had to have females help me coach more than the guys. Unless
really?
They get paid. Or give
How
some,
was that?
Or give some
How
kind
was
of,
that?
Or,
How was that? Because you know what? That might sound a little awkward because at home I have my mom. Okay? Then I go to practice, I got this woman coaching me. Like, what do you think is going to happen to the black man identity? Because your identity starts at an early age. Is that right, Jay?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things we have to begin to realize is that we have to begin to educate ourselves as well. And, you know, there's so much that has gone on institutionally with the demise of the mental, the physical, the cultural existence of African American men. And, you know, we have to be about the business of diligently restructuring, rebuilding all of those things that have been the culprit and the cause of many African American men feeling deficient and acting in a way as insignificant and as if nobody cares. And we do care. The children need them. And there's so many things that we can do. I mean, even if guys got together and, you know, had a museum day or introduced them to musical instruments or took them to see a production that they've never seen. There's just so many things that they can do, or just sat around and talked about nature, took them to a science museum. There's just so many things we can do to begin to develop a relationship, go to the beach, you know, sit there. And one of the things that, you know, I also deal with a lot of Mexican families as well, and one of the things that they stress is the importance of that family network. They make sure that
right.
the fathers are present. You know, they say, don't be like the, they told us, they said, when they came here and they tried to get citizenship, one of the things they was told, don't be like the blacks. How the blacks
wow.
don't take care of their family, don't take care of their children. Don't be like that, because that is the beginning of the dismantling of the family unit. So you have to make sure that you are, you go to the PTAs, you sit down, you talk to the parents, you know, you talk to the teachers, you know, and you have a relationship in everything that your child is involved in. And when the children see that you're there, you're present, it gives them a totally different perspective in terms of the importance and the value of what you bring to the family and the value that they have as an individual. So if we're remiss at all of those things, you have, as a result, a lot of the conditions that we have out here. Where kids don't care, they run in the household and run in the family,
yeah.
and they're destroying
yeah.
things. When you say something to them, you know, my mother don't even talk to me like that. Who are you telling me to sit down and be respectful? I run my house.
That's right.
You know, so we
That's
have
right.
to tell them, well, you don't run this house. So let's get some
That's
rules
right.
straight. When you talk to them like that and you represent like that, you'd be surprised. The children want to be led. They want to be taught. But if you're not going to teach it, they're gonna fill that void, and they're going to become in charge because they see that there's no guidance and there's no direction coming from the adults. So we got a lot of work to do, but guess what? We just have to do it. Keep doing it every day.
Every day, and not only that, to add to
Thanks,
that, I have a thing where a lot of these guys be on, if I'm not in your organization and we're trying to bond together, no matter you talk to these kids, I talk to these kids, and I try to bring it together, a lot of them don't want to change. A lot of grown folks, men, don't want to go to the other side. They'd rather stay in this little clique and... Well, your kid is a little bit badder than the kids I got. So help me out to, you know, mellow that down. They don't want to do that.
So a lot of these brothers are just washing their hands. Because you got to remember, these are going to be future fathers. So they washing their hands of these little young brothers. They forget that they're on their own.
Right. Right.
I remember 2 weeks ago, Carlton, our provocative thought, had a show, the impact of the single parent family, what's the impact of the single parent family on the black community. And a lot of sisters called up that night, and a couple of them said, we don't need the men. We've been doing without them. My father helps me out, or my uncle helps me out. You know, but I don't need his daddy. So what can you do with that attitude? Because a lot of women are feel like they don't need a man to help raise their kids. They're more of a burden. They say we're more like the kids.
See, on that note, you got that everywhere because, you know, once they get a certain age, you know, a lot of these kids, you know, they feel they grown. But they don't still have the basics. they still run around here with the pants down and no job, figuring, you know, they know what they're doing. But as us men, a lot of us older men, you know, 30s through the 40s, 50s, still wearing their pants down thinking they're still young too. So, you know, you set a precedent on how I should act as a man. You know, because in the Bible tells you, as I was a child, I acted as a child. But once I become a man, I'm supposed to be a man. But that is not going on no more. The grown-ups want to be, you know, 21, too. No, you're grown.
Well, you know, part of it is the fact that they're mentally immature, and the other part of it is that they don't realize they're mentally immature, and they have to really look at. I mean, I've had fathers come to our center with their pants sagging to pick up kids, and I will walk up to them and say, excuse me, we got a lot of children here, so while you're here, we have a no sagging rule, so I just appreciate if you stop the sagging. You get outside, you can do whatever you want, but while you're here, you know, we have a bunch of children here, so I appreciate if you respect our rules. And they look at me and they say, okay, they'll pull their pants up for a minute and then, you know, go out and sag. And then their children, we have to teach them how to take yarn and make belts and pull their pants up and have a belt for their pants, and we have to train them. And we have to educate them on so many other facets about health and hygiene and education and science and looking into the future and looking for opportunities and not waiting for jobs. And there's so many things that we have to share with them. And the school system, they're teaching them, they're no longer doing cursive. They're not focusing on multiplication. They're doing Common Core, which is the reverse inside out, upside down view of education. And they're doing all these things. And then we have to reverse those things and help them to get on the path where they can actually compete in this world and for the future. And so then you have a whole group of parents. We have to do the same thing as well. So we have multiple activities for the parents, parent involvement. Y'all have to, if you want your kids to come here, the reduced rate of those receivers, you have to come here, and we have to do a monthly activity. And they all come. And when we have the Black History, that's one of the biggest things. When we start doing Black History, the parents come in groves because there's so much information that they don't have, so much knowledge they don't have, and they don't know where to go to get it. They don't know how to start looking for it, and we need direction and guidance. And so we provide that for them. We say, hey, here's some of the things you should be looking for. These are some of the must-have books you need to have at your house. You need to sit down and read it. You need to turn off the television. So it's a lot of things that over the past 50 years that have gone on to support the institutionalization of ignorance. So now
right.
We have to be in the business of reversing that and finding ways to help educate them, strengthen the family unit, and help strengthen them as individuals so that and they're thirsting for these things. So when you present it, you know, oftentimes they say, you know what, I didn't know that. I need to know that. And then we tell them, hey, we're getting ready to have this event. We need some men to come out, and we need some men to go on these field trips and support these kids. They need to learn as well. So, you know, we have to understand that there's a lot of different things that are going on that we have to address simultaneously and never get frustrated with the fact that we have to do that. Because just like there's been a simultaneous institutionalization of decadence to break down not just our culture but all the cultures. We're seeing that in the news every day. You know, we're all in
right.
news, just like the mayor from Mississippi. He was so poignant the other night when he said, you know, all of these things was put up to support supremacy and hate. You know, they say we support history. No, you're supporting supremacy and hatred. Take the blinders off and see things for what they really are. They have a statue in Central Park of Dr. Marion I can't remember his last name. But anyway, he was experimenting on African slaves and torturing them, you know, for years and years and years, the king of gynecology. And his statue is in Stinky Park. You know, so there's just a lot of things that we know and we've been hurting from and just overlooking. And we have to address some things, and we have to help our parents, our children, and our communities really grow and come together, because until we address these situations and acknowledge that they exist and work on plans to change things, that's going to continue to perpetuate. And it's going to get worse and worse, and the cancer is going to grow more and more and more. And we're seeing that right now. But once we come together, you know, I have relationships with the Mexican community, and, you know, they said, oh, we want civil rights. And we want our rights like the blacks. We want to come and we want to be with you all. But I have to say, hold up, my brother. Let me tell you what you really mean. Did you go see the Hidden Figures movie? It said, no. You need to take all your people to go see Hidden Figures to get an understanding and semblance of what African Americans are going through. Yes, we want equal for everybody, but don't think for one second that, you know, we just like skipped up to the line and said, okay, we're next. No, we have died and struggled and all these things have gone. Look at the Native Americans. They pretty much annihilated them, and they're working on annihilating African Americans, one group after another after another. All these atrocities. So, you know, yes, we need to build on it. Yes, we need to educate. Yes, we need to come together through love and through prayer and through strengthening each other and working on things to make it better. But the African-American males, they need to know that we need them. And we need these young men. We have to train them in the way that they should go. And I don't care how they come, because I see they come every day. They run in the household. They're, you know, using profanity, and they want to fight and all that kind of stuff. But when we get with them and say, hey, what's going on? And we give them a place where they could relax and they could really talk about issues and they could, you know, take off all of this hard exterior and get to that heart that's inside, then they begin to build from there. And then we teach them. When you come in, you say hello to the adults. You show respect. You put yourself up. These are the things we have to do, because all of this stuff, all that stuff our grandparents taught us, it's not here anymore.
No. I think that's what Brother Anthony was talking about when he said we got to go back to the basics. Let me ask y'all something. Let me ask you something, both of y'all. When you think of a family, the average black family, I already know what your response is going to be, but I want to ask this question anyway, since we're on that topic, since we've gone down that road. When you close your eyes and look at the typical black family, are we included?
Huh.
Hey, Brother Anthony.
Wow.
Do American society feel that the average black family has the black man as the leader of their family?
Well, in my case, my dad was a lawyer. Motivating Minds, too, is really, may he rest in peace, is about my dad, Miles L. Mitchell Jr. And I started Motivating Minds, too. And my mom, he's a lawyer, my mom a school teacher. I probably took the wrong course, but I got four other brothers and sisters who, by him being his presence, had us guided to where I don't want to see y'all out there, even though I end up out there somehow. I know how, but I seen what I did by not listening to my father. I end up taking that. I didn't want to listen. I didn't want that authority figure. And I felt my way was better than his way. Well, when he said, your bed gonna be hard, I didn't understand what he was saying. I made my bed hard. A lot of these kids make their bed hard. Whatever my dad and mom did for me, I turned around, and now I'm doing it and telling my kids, this ain't the role I need you to travel. And then you tell other kids and their parents, but see, I'm not growing up with my son, my daughter, you know, but I had to be part of their life. I had to figure out a channel to where I could be part of my son and daughter life. And it took me a while to wake up. But once I woke up, I thank God for it, that I had a drive to motivate other kids, women, children, to look at their situation and realize you have two sides of a coin, heads or tails. Either you're going to walk this line the best way you can and ask for help while you're walking, or are you going down this other road, which might lead to death or prison? So I don't feel now that we live in the dream of what I had when my mom and dad, you know, it's none of that. You know, it's the mother over here, the dad over here, the kids in between, and we just have to function as parents. I'm a friend with my kids, but I'm also a parent. You can't talk to nobody else like you're an adult. I need you to say, excuse me if we're talking. They don't do that no more. Kids just jump in and start talking.
Yeah, when I was coming up, my mom and dad used to tell me, a child stay in the child's place.
Right.
Nobody want to hear from you. And I see why, because we don't have the life experiences. When I was 12 years old, 11 years old, I wasn't no 25, 35, 45 year old. You know,
used to say a child should be seen and not heard.
Right. So, Jay, that's the question. Do you feel, when you close your eyes and look at an image of the typical black family today, are we involved? Or is the black man involved? And is the black man part of that family?
For most of my families, they are not. You know, they have their family, and like the brother was saying, you know, because of the relationship with the woman, you know, hey, I can't be around her, so therefore I can't be around you. And, you know, we got to get past that. We got to get past that and start working on ways to be a part of the children's lives, because, you know, I know my dad and my mom, you know, they were through our lives, and one of the things that motivated us to do well in school, to get out of prison,
yes,
to not get involved. I mean, like, you know, they talk about kids racing cars and getting killed and all kinds of stuff. They had that going on in our day. But when a car pulled up with a bunch of your friends and they said, hop in, let's go take a ride, we got this car, and you know it's not their car, the first thing you think about is breaking your mother's heart and how distraught she would be. And the second thing was how your father was going to tear that tail up when you got in his presence. So those two things would make you say, oh, that's all right, y'all go ahead and do that. But I got people to answer to, people that care about
me. That's right.
And so therefore, I choose right now not to do that. And so until we have that kind of cognizance in our families, in our neighborhoods, and with our children, you know, they just young and wild. Another thing, you know, a lot of these schools is, you know, parents, the mothers is going for this here psychotropic drugs that they're giving them, you know, classification. And there's actually no test to determine that a child is special ed. It's just the opinion of someone. And as a result, everybody, they sign up for special ed, the schools get a check for it, parents get a check, the pharmaceutical industries get a check to be able to prescribe the Ritalin, which is a chemical molecular formula, same as crack cocaine. and they give this to the kids. I saw a kid that was on it. She was 5 years old. And she was giving it to a five-year-old. And when she was, you know, like not listening and looking all around, they went and increased her dosage. And then she was just like, you know, she was sitting there like she was.
Wow.
That's a form of child abuse. I'm sorry. I know it's from the medical profession, but that is a form of child abuse given a five-year-old Ritalin.
This is going on across the nation. The pharmaceutical industries are making billions off of this system. That's what I'm talking about, the institutionalization. And until parents are pulled in and we have, because they don't know, you pull them in one by one and say, hey, we know this Johnny is not attentive. This is what we recommend. We'll put him in special ed. That way he can keep going grade to grade to grade. And we're going to have to give him this to help calm his nerves so he can focus. And this and that. And you just railroaded right into the system. And when they done had 10, 15 years of this chemicalized crack cocaine in their system, when they turn 18, get out of school, they take it off, they walk around, they shoot, and the first thing they see, you see a lot of the results in the activities and the actions of these kids today. And all of this is by design, and everybody is making money off of it. And and each parent is, you know, and not just African Americans, they're doing it to Hispanics, they're doing it to a lot of different families. And so, you know, when we become aware of this and we start addressing these issues, you know, that's another part of our organization. We have to have be a liaison and an advocate for our families. When they come and they're having problems with the school, say, what is the problem? They'll explain the problem. We have to go to the school and we have to sit there and listen to the principal and to the counselors and advisors and help translate what they're saying to the parents. Because the parents don't understand and they don't want to seem dumb in front of people because they're not dumb. They just
right.
nomenclature. If you explain this stuff in real terms, like I just did, we're going to give him some crack and we're going to make sure that he calm down and don't do nothing in school, and then we'll graduate him in the next year so everybody can be happy and we'll give you a check for that. You down with that?
And I understand what he said earlier about a village. We don't have that village no more to where if your kid do something, I'm going to tell, hey, boy, you can't do that. That ain't going on. Now these people close the door, you know.
Yeah.
See, when I was growing up, you got to realize you ain't getting no medication. You get medication when you get home, all
right.
But now they quick to say, oh, something wrong with this kid. Hold on. Ain't nothing wrong with this kid. But
if your mother, auntie, father, anybody put their hands on you, call this number.
That's right. That's right.
And they're arrested
with the
kid. They're arrested with the
kid.
Well, let me
10 years
ask
old.
Y'all this. Okay. Let me ask y'all this. And this could be the last thing we're going to talk about before I sign off. I want to know, and we hit on it a little bit earlier in the show, but I'm going to hit on X again. Why are black adults afraid of black children? Or do you think that? Why are black adults afraid of black children? Do you think we're afraid of black children, or we just don't want to be bothered with them? I know we don't want to be bothered with them, but do you think it's because of fear, because of kids and guns, kids and their mouths, might get cursed out? I don't know. What is the breakdown of the relationship? Huh?
All of the above. A lot of kids. Yeah, all of them scared. You know what I mean? If you don't take the kid on the beginning and mold that child to be respectable or know how to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir, go to school, raise your hand. If this kid, that's like playing basketball. If I don't teach this kid the basics of how to make a layup from the beginning, and he or she start doing their own thing. And then when I say, hold on, you don't wait until this kid get 14, 15, now you want to try to get into the kid's life to say, okay, well, maybe that ain't going to work. And then the kids say, no, oh, you're not my dad, or I haven't seen you. But hold on, whether I'm your dad or not, I'm a authority figure over you, and you need to settle down. A lot of kids hate like me and dislike me because I don't like them to talk. Because if you knew, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in. We like to pacify kids. Oh, well, you 15 now. I'm not going to say nothing to you. No. If I go home and I did bad in school, my parents going to take care of me when I get home. I don't need no medication. A lot of us just scared. Kids get 20, you know.
Yeah. And in addition, you don't know what you get. You don't know. Just like when they were showing these Klansmen and they were showing when they took off their hoods, you know, they school teachers, they police officers, they Marines, they're all these people that you deal with every day. But underneath, you don't know they going to the Klan meeting at night and they hating you, and every chance they get to destroy you, that's what they living for. So with a lot of these children, you don't know what you get. You don't know if you have a child that's having all kinds of problems. You don't know if you have a child that's really running the house. Are they, you know, pharmaceutically altered? You know, what kind of child is this? And is this a very violent child that's going to, you know, they look sweet, and they may say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and they'll still shoot you. They're part of a gang, and this is their initiation. But so it's a different time we're in now. So you can't, you know, and then if you're going to tell a parent, you don't know what you're going to run into there either. So you have to be cautious. You have to be very cautious when you're dealing with these children to see what you have. And some of them you can work with, and some of them have been so altered and modified that they are a danger, and they are a danger to society. And so, you know, you have to act accordingly. Because some of the kids, I mean, there was this one kid that came to our center one time, and he was quiet, never had a problem out of him. And one day, some kid came to me and said, you know, so-and-so got a gun. Who's made me have a gun? So we had to go and, you know, like very quietly talk to him, say, hey, you know, we heard you had a gun. You got a gun? Yeah, I got a gun right here. And he said he brought it because on his way home, the bullies is messing with him. So he was cleaning his aunt's house, found a gun, said, oh, I'm going to use this for protection.
But when he
was at the spot, he was telling people, yeah, I got a gun. If anybody mess with me, I got this. I can handle you. So you never know what the situations are. So we do have to be very cautious. And sometimes we don't have a support of the parents, you know. And sometimes they're in these dangerous gangs that will kill you just as soon as they talk to you. So,
and those
are
kids in the gangs, too. They're 14, 15-year-olds, 12-year-olds.
Because they'll be loyal, and they're looking for something to belong to. They're looking for somebody to love them. Because
they don't do that at home. And it starts in the home. Brother Anthony,
exactly.
before we run out of time, could you give the information, your information out to anybody that may want to call you or they want to send their kids to your program?
Yes, Motivating Minds 2, Inc. Minneapolis, Minnesota. My number is 612-205-2476. And I work with fourth grade on up to an adults.
Okay. Well Brother
fantastic.
Anthony.
Yeah.
Brother Anthony and Sister Jay.
Yeah.
I thank y'all for coming on the show. And Jay, I will give you a call.
Nice,
and Jay, I'm gonna give you a call this week. But I got something to talk to you about, okay?
All right, sounds great.
All right, so guys,
nice meeting you, Miss Jay.
Okay, nice meeting you too. And Anthony, can you give me his number so that we can reach out and we can encourage and support each other? on this mission, because each one teach one, and we all, you know, got to one hand wash the other. They both wash the face. So we got
each one teach one. I haven't heard that in a long time. That used to be a program in New York. Each one teach one.
Each
one
teach one.
Yeah, we need to bring it back.
That's right.
You ain't lying about that. Okay, so good night, folks, and thank you for coming on the show.
Okay, it's my
all right,
pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us. All right, take care.
All right. That's another week, ladies and gentlemen. And when you download this show, I mean, you and your boyfriend, you and your husband should really listen to this show, because we had two professionals on tonight that dedicated their lives to our young. And we need to learn from these folks, listen to their recommendation. Not just listen, we got to implement them. We have to start following up. We got to start raising our kids. We got to keep them off the street. Well, it's hard to keep them off the street, but we really got to provide the structure in our homes, in our institutions. In fact, maybe we should have our own institutions. How about that? How about Afrocentric? How about our own institution? Because let me tell you something. Just because the public school system is free doesn't mean it's right for us. And with that, I'm Kenny Jones of Black Earth America. I see you next week. As I always sign off, I am because we are. We are because I am. Good night.